The Church celebrates the Feast of Corpus Domini, or the Body and Blood of the Lord. On this day, the Pope traditionally presides a special evening Mass at the Basilica of St. John Lateran here in Rome. Then, accompanied by thousands of Romans and pilgrims, the Holy Father leads a procession to the Basilica of St. Mary Major, just about a mile away. Well, in today's program, we'll be reflecting on the meaning of this feast day. The body of Christ. That's what the priest says to us when we approach the altar to receive communion. But for some, it's become a habit to simply say amen and return to their pew in the church, perhaps to muse over what they'll be eating later for lunch. Well, if that's what happens to a few conscientious churchgoers, then what to say about those who receive the Eucharist just a few times a year? Well, one pope, some 7.5 centuries ago, thought it was important for the faithful to remember just what the Eucharist is all about, and he set aside a feast day to especially celebrate Corpus Christi, the body of Christ, Christ's ultimate sacrifice out of his love for humanity.
It was Pope Urban IV who on September the 8th, 1264, promulgated the celebration of Corpus Christi in the papal bull Transitorius. Pope Urban's decision was critically influenced by the great veneration for the Eucharist of a Belgian nun named Juliana. Later to become known as the Saint of Montcornion, Belgium, Juliana had always longed for a special feast day honouring the Blessed Sacrament. This desire increased after Juliana had a vision of the church lit by the full moon, but marred by a round dark spot, signifying the absence of such a solemnity. Though Pope Urban's death shortly after the publication of the decree limited its diffusion, Pope Clement V ordered the adoption of the feast day at the General Council of Vienne in France in 1311. That decree made it a universal day of observance. Today, the Feast of Corpus Christi is normally celebrated on the Thursday or the Sunday after Trinity Sunday.
Well, Corpus Christi, then, is a feast day celebrated by the Church around the world. And today we'll be talking to one Church leader as far away as Australia about the meaning of this day in modern times. We're joined now on the line by Bishop Chris Toohey of Wilcannia Forbes, New South Wales in Australia. Hello, Bishop Toohey.
Yeah, good evening. Well, it's evening our time anyway.
Well, as we heard earlier, St. Juliana of Mount Cornillon had a vision of a moonlit church with a Eucharist-shaped hole. Do you think that hole has been filled today?
Well, that's a really difficult question. It's probably true today, as in every age of the church, that devotion to the Eucharist would vary in terms of intensity throughout the church and throughout the world. Obviously, some countries and indeed some parishes would be more aware, more attuned to the Eucharist than others. And it's very difficult to quantify that. And in fact, the bishops of Australia have been calling for renewed devotion to the Eucharist. And that would be in a context where there's a perception that devotion has somehow declined a little.
Well, in fact, I would bet that many Catholics around the world don't know much about the observance today, and much less go to Mass on Corpus Christi.
That'd be true. I think you'd have to be honest enough to say that that'd be true. I think the fact of the matter is we're dealing with a mystery beyond anything that we could have dreamed up for ourselves. And I think perhaps today, without being too judgmental, our world is dominated by our own creation, if you like. The sense of that mystery of Christ's presence amongst us is perhaps pushed aside a little bit by our own inventions, by technology and whatever.
Well, the name of the feast day, Corpus Christi, is actually in Latin, which is considered a dead language today, but it's certainly not a dead sacrament, is it? Can you offer us a reflection on the meaning of the Eucharist and how it should relate to our lives today?
Well, from my own perspective, I can talk personally here. What strikes me is that our place in the universe is quite relatively insignificant, given that we're a single planet in a single galaxy among trillions and trillions of stars, etc., etc., if you know what I mean. To contemplate the truth that God, actually, the creator of the universe, actually walked on this earth at a period in our history is mind-bending. It's not something we could ever have dreamed up. Nobody expected it. Nobody really predicted that God would walk on the earth. I think that's fair to say. And having done that, left this sacrament of his presence so that there is a real presence there. The bread and the wine actually change into a real presence of Christ. For me personally, is just beyond anything that we could have imagined that God would do for our benefit. And so therefore, you know, I feel drawn to it.
Well, how can we put the Eucharist at the center of our everyday lives, keeping in mind that we're so busy with our jobs, our family, our other commitments? It's really difficult to think about it, something else,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Well, Tracy, that's true. A lot of things are difficult. But if we don't do it, what are the consequences? You see, for me, the Eucharist, the Sunday Eucharist in particular, gives rhythm to the week. We have a sense of ebb and flow of the days. Sunday flows into Monday. Monday flows into the weekend. It comes coming back to Sunday again. So there's this regular motion of the week that gives order and space to our lives. If we don't have it, and if we don't allow ourselves to simply be transformed by God, then what happens is that we just move faster and faster in ever-diminishing circles, which is precisely what God wanted us to avoid and why God chose to come here to save us. So it's really a case of what, not so much the fact that it is difficult to make these spaces in our lives. To me, it's more a question of, well, what are the consequences if we don't do that? I think we just make our lives even more difficult than they need to be. We become so busy, in fact, that we lose the sense of our own place in things, and that's not what God wants.
So basically you're just saying, hey, wait a minute, slow down, take a breath, and think about what's really important.
Precisely, yeah. And I, as I say, that, and I agree with you, it takes a discipline to do that. But from my point of view is, okay, if that's difficult, just imagine life without a sense of my own worth and my own space and my own value. I think you're in a really bad situation there. I think we have to allow God to work in people's hearts and minds. The church is there. It's just a matter of us, and it's a collective thing in this world that we're in now, saying to ourselves, hang on, you know, is it not our belief that the author of the universe walked on the earth? How can we treat that with indifference? How can I just simply say, well, that's interesting, and then get on with, you know, doing whatever else I do? Somehow or another, it has to come back to me to make a choice to say to myself, now, hang on, God did that. That is an extreme thing to do. We talk about extreme sports and extreme makeovers and extreme all sorts of things. Well, I tell you, that is an extreme thing to do. And I personally just can't say, oh, well, that was an interesting thing that happened 2,000 years ago. Well, fine. You know, I can't be indifferent to that. And I think the person, I think that's where it's got to come back to this.
And a very warm thanks there to Bishop Chris Toohey of Wilcannia Forbes, New South Wales in Australia. Well, now we turn to Monsignor Philip Whitmore for a musical reflection on this feast day in a program produced by Veronica Scarisbrick.
The Brigittine convent in Rome, where I go for Mass most mornings, the design on the tabernacle door shows a pelican feeding its young. With its long beak, the pelican bites its breast, releasing drops of blood to feed the young. That image has captured the imaginations of writers and artists over the centuries, from ancient Egypt right through to the present. Shakespeare and Dante both used it. And so did St. Thomas Aquinas in a hymn he wrote about the great gift of the Eucharist, when Christ feeds us with his own body and blood. The feast of Corpus Christi was established during St. Thomas's lifetime. He probably wrote many of the prayers we use in the liturgy on this feast. And he also wrote some fine hymns in honour of the Blessed Sacrament. Not only Adoro Te, that we just heard, but also O Salutaris Ostia and Tantum Ergo, that we sing at benediction. The Church's teaching on the Eucharist is explored thoroughly in St. Thomas's theological writings, but the heart of it is expressed beautifully and simply in his Eucharistic hymns. O Thou, our reminder of Christ crucified, living bread, the life of us for whom he died, lend this life to me then, feed and feast my mind. There be thou the sweetness man was meant to find. St. Thomas develops the idea of the pelican feeding its young with its own blood. One drop of our Lord's precious blood, he says, is enough to redeem the world. So you often see a pelican used in Christian art as a symbol for the Eucharist. Corpus Christi College in Oxford, founded just before the Reformation, has a pelican proudly perched on top of the column in the front quadrangle. Now, I don't know whether any of you have ever tried translating Latin hymns into English. It isn't easy. And if you want to try and use the same plainsong tune for the English version, you really need to be a genius. Fortunately, a genius was at hand to translate St. Thomas's Adoro Te in the person of the Jesuit poet Gerard Manley Hopkins. Another skillful translator of Latin hymns was Edward Caswall, a priest who entered the Birmingham Oratory shortly after it was founded by John Henry Newman in the mid-19th century. Father Caswall's name crops up everywhere in Catholic hymn books, mainly for his translations, but also for some texts of his own, like See Amid the Winter's Snow and O Jesus Christ Remember. Let's listen now to his translation of St. Thomas's Adoro Te, O Godhead hid, devoutly I adore thee. That tune is called Aquinas, appropriately enough, and it was written by Sir Richard Terry, first master of music at Westminster Cathedral. The cathedral is dedicated to the Most Precious Blood, and as you enter the Blessed Sacrament Chapel there, you see a lovely bronze pelican lovingly shedding its blood. As we celebrate the Feast of Corpus Christi, we could use this hymn to help us in our prayer. The words of St. Thomas, translated by Gerard Manley Hopkins or by Edward Caswall, offer us plenty of food for thought and food for prayer.